About the spirit of enslavement, and tonight we are going to. Well, I was asking the Lord what to speak on, and what the Lord gave me His word, so we will go on that word tonight. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Let's look at the definition of the mercy of God. And I think the scripture defines mercy better than anyone else. The definition for the mercy of God is what I found in the book of Titus, chapter number 3. The book of Titus, chapter number 3, verse number 4 to 7. Titus, chapter number 3. Verse number 4 to 7. Let's understand, first of all, what is mercy. But when the kindness, chapter number 3, verse number 4 to 7. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Now, this is what the scripture is saying, and this is where we can find out what is mercy and how does mercy works. Now, taking conclusion from this scripture, what is mercy? Mercy is the forgiveness, not only the forgiveness, but also the acceptance of God unto salvation. Mercy is the forgiveness and the acceptance of God unto salvation. Now, if someone has wronged you, someone hurted you, someone cheated you, so that person asks forgiveness. Okay, you people forgive that person. Okay, I forgive you. But that is only forgiveness. Mercy is shown when you forgive that person and you also accept that person back. So that is how mercy is differentiated from forgiveness. For God forgives us. But He does not only forgives us, He restores the position that we lost after He forgives us. That is called mercy. Hallelujah. People of God, even as we start the meeting, can I have everyone's amen? Yeah. Can you say hallelujah?
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I will say once, because I see only two people saying amen in all the meetings, two or three people. The rest of them, don't remove you, they're mute, don't come on the screen, don't say amen. I don't know why. Okay, let me continue. Hallelujah. So listen to me. Mercy is the forgiveness and acceptance of God unto salvation. So that is what differentiates mercy from forgiveness, that God forgives you and then He also accepts you. Now, when I was praying, I started to understand the mercy of God from the story of the prodigal son and from the story of Jonah. That are the two scriptures from where God started to teach me about mercy. God started to explain to me about mercy. Now, when you look at the story of the prodigal son came back to the father after wasting the money of the father. So the father did not only forgive the prodigal son, but the father also accepted the prodigal son back into the house. That is mercy. Are we understanding mercy? So what is mercy? Mercy is the forgiveness and acceptance. God accepts you. That means He restores you to that position. He brings you to that position unto salvation. Hallelujah. Tonight you need God. Tonight we need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. Okay, so let me come to the scripture again. This is what the definition of mercy here is speaking. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness. Now works, the man's work of righteousness is contrary to mercy. We will come to that afterwards. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he what? Saved us. So according to his mercy, he saved us means mercy is by salvation. Okay? How? Through the washing and regeneration, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is how mercy worked for us. How? Through the washing. What kind of washing? Of the regeneration. Do you know you are born again by the Spirit? That is regeneration. You have a new birth, and this new birth is given to you by the Spirit of God when you accepted Christ. When you took birth naturally, you were born out of the womb of your mother. You came from the womb of your you were born in flesh and blood. But when you realized, when you accepted Christ, and when you acknowledged him as Savior and took a decision to walk in his word, took a decision to live obedient, to get rid of your sin, repented from your sin, left your whole life and accepted him, what happened to you is that you were born again. The born again experience is a result of the mercy of God. The born again, the regeneration of the Spirit. So how can you be washed when you are born again by the Spirit? That is the first term of your washing, of your cleansing, regeneration. And then what? Not only rebirth, regeneration, but also what? Renewing. And renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you are born again into a new life, you have to learn the precepts and you have to learn to walk according to that new life, according to the new owner of your life. Who is the owner? Who is the leader of your life? The Holy Spirit, through whom you were born, who gave you the birth. The Spirit of God who gave you the birth. Now, when you are born from your mother's womb, the parents are the one who keep you, who teach you to walk. And when you grow up, they put you into school. They take care of you. They teach you how to eat. They teach you what to do. So they are the one now who are teaching you. That is how when you are born again by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one who will start to teach the ways of God. That is the renewing by the Holy Spirit. So the regeneration, that is the rebirth, and the renewing by the Holy Spirit is the result of God's mercy. We did not deserve it, but because of his mercy, he did not only forgave us, but he gave us the Holy Spirit through whom we are born. And then through the Holy Spirit, he renews us. He renews us. That is the definition of mercy. Okay, and then it says, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace. Now, grace is what? Grace is different than mercy. By mercy, you are saved and accepted. By grace, you are what? You are justified. Hallelujah. By his grace, you are justified. It's justification. Justification is you are not allowed to receive certain things, rewards in your life. You were a candidate of punishment. You were a candidate, I and you were a candidate to go to hell and to suffer the wrath of hell. But by grace, we are justified. By grace, we are saved from that judgment and we are rewarded. Now, the prodigal son was forgiven by the father and accepted into the house. That is mercy. Then what happened? The prodigal son was, after he was accepted into the house, the father gave him the ring. The father had a fatted calf killed for his son. And there was a party made and there was a robe that was given to him and all those stuff. That is justification. That is grace. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. You don't deserve that party. You don't deserve to be clothed by that robe. You don't deserve that fatted calf, to eat that fatted calf at the Father's table. But it is the grace of the Lord. It is the grace of Father, of the Father, that you were first accepted. That means you receive mercy. You were justified. That means you did not get what you deserved, but you got the good things of the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. So you deserve the good things of the Father. That is grace. That is what? That is grace. So it says, justified by his grace. But I'm not going to come upon grace. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of grace and truth, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is in two compartments, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth. I have already taken that sermon when I taught about the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth. Okay, so let's not go to grace, but that is the difference between mercy. Mercy is God's forgiveness and acceptance unto salvation, and grace is for justification and for rewards. That you are rewarded. What we are receiving, we don't deserve it, but God has blessed us with his good things. God has blessed us with his good things. Now, after we have seen what is mercy, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 15, verse number 11. Let's see the prodigal son. Let's look at the prodigal son, and then from the prodigal son parable, we are going to draw the revelations on mercy. Everyone cannot receive God's mercy. There are understanding of the mercy. There are conditions on which when you abide by, then you are eligible for God's mercy. Yes, God's mercy is for everyone, but you have to understand how to receive his mercy. Okay? And that can be learned by the story of the prodigal son and by the story of Jonah. Okay, so let's start off with the story of the prodigal son. Let me first read from the book of Luke, chapter number 15, verse number 11 to verse number. Yes, let's start off from verse number 11. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, since we understand from the book of Titus, chapter number 3, verse number 4 to 7, the definition of God's mercy, that mercy of God is not only forgiveness, but acceptance and restoration of the position that God gives you in his kingdom, that is mercy. Now let us understand the revelations about mercy. Who can receive God's mercy? The first thing that we have to look at the parable of the prodigal son is, we cannot receive God's mercy when we choose our own ways above God's ways. Write it down. We cannot receive God's mercy when we choose our ways above God's ways. The same parable, Luke chapter number 15, let's read verse number 11 and 12 again. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not, okay. Okay. So the son asked for, the property share from the father. I want this. I want to have this property share, this blessings from you, and use it as per my own will, use it as per my own desire. So father said, take it from me. One of the things that you have to realize, that the answers to your prayers does not conforms to you God's mercy towards you. God can answer someone's prayer, but that does not mean that God is merciful. The son asked and the father gave, but he did not receive mercy at that time because he wanted to create his own living with whatever he wanted from the father, with whatever he wanted from God. So a person who lives in his own ways, as per his own ideology, as per his own will, a person who has not understood to crucify his will and follow Christ does not understand God's mercy. Hallelujah. When you don't have God's mercy, but you understand sonship, you understand anointing. So many people, I will come to that. They talk about sonship. You know, so many people even requested, oh, Apostle Raul, you're teaching about so many different topics. Can you teach sonship? Well, I will teach about it. Sonship is where you ask from the Father. You know that you are his son. You know that whatever you ask from him, you will receive. You know the father-son relationship. Are we understanding? But sonship does not assure mercy. You receive mercy when certain conditions are fulfilled. Here, the son asked for the father the property share. The father said, okay, take it. And he took it and he went to do his own will. The God's mercy, father's mercy did not came there because he chose his own ways. Okay, are we understanding? So that is the first thing we have to understand. We cannot receive God's mercy when we choose our ways above God's ways. Even the prayers we do can be selfish. Even the askings that we do, the seekings that we do can be selfish, can be as per our will. And we don't understand that true prayer is first when a man kills his will, kills his desires and comes before God and says, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Then you start to enter into the realms of mercy, not when you start to ask and start to demand as per what you want, like the prodigal son wanted the property share. Hallelujah. Are we together until now? The second revelation about mercy is, every believer, now note this down, every believer, not even one will be left out. I'm talking about every one of us. Every believer comes to a breaking point or hits rock bottom, what people call rock bottom, so I use that word. Every believer comes to a breaking point or hits rock bottom in his life where they realize the need of God's mercy. Hallelujah. Every believer, have you realized the need of God's mercy? If you haven't, because you haven't went to the place where you lost all hope. You haven't went to a place which broke you completely. You haven't went to that place where it was all over. I still remember the place where I realized that I needed God's mercy. Hallelujah. Every believer will come to a point. Every believer comes to a breaking point or hits rock bottom in his life, where they realize, listen to me, they need God's mercy, or some still choose to continue in their own ways when they hit that rock bottom. Two things can happen with a person. You see, God had a plan for me. God had chosen me before I was there in my mother's womb. He had chosen me. And he will orchestrate the happenings in my life. And he orchestrated that this guy, Rahul, this boy, Rahul, will come to a point where he will lose everything. He will be completely shattered. He orchestrated that happening in my life for me to go at that point. But when I went to that point, to that breaking point, either I will realize that I need his mercy, or I will still continue to choose to stay in my rebellious, stubborn nature. Hallelujah. So God has plans. It's the will of man. I will not come to that. You know who is the biggest enemy on this earth? You will say the devil. No, the devil is not. The devil is not the biggest enemy of God. The will of a man is the biggest enemy of God. The selfish will of man. The devil is able to orchestrate his kingdom. The devil is able to orchestrate what he wants to do on the face of the earth, because I and you align with the devil. We agree with the devil. If a human being says, I don't agree with the devil, devil cannot do anything on the face of the earth. It was because Eve agreed with the devil. It was because Adam agreed with the manipulation and deception of the serpent that he got a hold. He got employees to work in his company. If they rejected the devil, why did they agree with the devil? Why? Because the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, that is the self, that is the will of man. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? Intercessors, you have to realize things don't happen automatically. Even if God wants to do something, he wants on earth. Even if God wants to do something in your life, it is not automatic. Automatically, I will get saved without... No. There comes into the picture the will of man. So you come, every believer comes to a breaking point. Every believer comes to a point where everything seems to be shattered. And there, a believer realizes about God's mercy or need for God's mercy, or they still continue in their own stubborn will. Let's look at Luke chapter number 15, what we read. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 14 to 19. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Do you see, the father is not nagging after the son? Son, come back. Son, you know what? Where are you? I want you to. The father will be silent when you choose your will. The father will be silent when you choose to go far away from the father's presence. The father will not speak. He will wait for you to realize that you need his mercy and you need to come back. Hallelujah. Let me make a statement to you. The father will not run towards you. The father will orchestrate a situation where he will make your heart broken, where you will realize the need of the father for you to run back to the father. It says, come to me. It does not say, I will come to you. It says, come to me, all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, which is easy and light. So it says, come to me. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? Parents, listen to me. I know my life. I know how I encountered Christ. And when I was into all sin and all the friendship of the world in my teenage days, before I was 19, in my teenage years before 19, because at 19 my life changed. Before that, when I was into all the worldly things and all those things, my mother never forced, don't do this, don't do that. She never said anything to me. She just prayed. Because that is how the father operates. The father waits. She just prayed. And parents, I want to tell you, you have to understand the ways of the father. When your children are not in the Lord, or, you know, they are in the Lord for namesake, but they are in the world. You have to understand. As the father in the prodigal son parable operated, you have to understand how he operated, and you have to operate in the same way. Hallelujah. Instead of today he should come, today he should realize, instead of praying that, you have to pray, Lord, let my son, let my daughter hit that breaking point of his life where my child will realize that he needs you or she needs you. That should be your prayer. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That's the way of God. That's the way of God. You might have tried to pull him, pull her or pull him, pull your child to this meeting, to this church, that church, but they just listen and they go back to the same way because you are forcing them to. I'm not saying don't do that. You can do that, but you have to also understand that for them to come to God, they need to realize that they need God. They need God's mercy. And when will they realize that they need God's mercy? When they will hit that breaking point of their life, as the prodigal son hit the breaking point of his life, hit rock bottom in his life, where all his money was over. But what we do, son, oh, you know, mom, oh, you know, dad, my money is over. I will send you money. You are doing the devil's work. Leave them alone. You are pampering, you are so emotionally tied that you don't understand God's ways. You don't understand God is orchestrating something. Tell me, did the father call or did the father send letters to the son? Oh, do you need money? No. When the son asked, I want to go. If the father like, okay, go. And the father never said, I will give you. If the father gave him money, he would have lived in prodigal living. The father never contracted, never did anything. The father just waited for him. I'm telling you, God just waits for you. And he allows you to hit that breaking point of your life. If someone came and gave him the money, he would have been the devil's worker. And detach that person. So we Christians don't realize those things because we live in the flesh. We are too emotionally attached with our family members. We are too emotionally attached with our children. We are too emotionally attached with our so-called husband or wife or whatever. We don't understand the workings of God. We don't understand it. Hallelujah. You know, my mother never intervened. At those times, even in ministry, when I am going through things, she never intervenes. She knows that this boy of mine will communicate with God and look after his problem. And she never intervenes in those things because she is not emotionally attached to me, neither my father. One of the things that God blessed me with is with parents who understand that I am called by God. Both my father and mother understand I am called by God. They never stopped me. When I left my job and God called me, they never stopped me. They said, whatever, we know that you hear from God. Do whatever you want to do. Never they stopped me. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? You have to allow God to work on your family.
Amen.
Yes. You have to allow. Oh, no. My son only is eating burgers. I need to send. No. Ask God. Allow your children to go through something. Don't be emotionally attached to them. Don't pamper them. In your flesh, you are destroying God's work. You are destroying God's plan for their life. It says that his money was over because he was doing prodigal living in that country and there was a severe famine. Yes, his money was over. We are on verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. A son of a rich man is now feeding swines. Okay? Hallelujah. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate and no one gave him anything. So those happenings were allowed by God in the prodigal son's life so that he will, his self-confidence, his self-will, his pride, and his selfish ambitions will be shattered. And he will realize, I cannot live my life by my own. I need my Father. Hallelujah. That is when you start to enter God's mercy. Are we understanding God's mercy?
Amen.
Most of us, we don't have God's mercy. Why? Because we still think we can work out our own lives. One of the symptoms of that is we don't pray. We don't pray. We don't read the word. We don't attend fellowships. Why? Because we think we can do it all without it, without prayer, without fellowship, without reading the word. We can do it all. That is one of the symptoms that you are prodigal living. You are like the prodigal son. Ah, hallelujah. Verse number 17. But when he came back to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? But I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Okay, that was the breaking point in his life, where he realized that my father, you know, he was good to me, but I left him. I took my share, and it is good for me. Now that is, okay. Every believer, what? Before going to that, I want to take you on a different route. Every believer comes to a breaking point or hits rock bottom in his life where they realize that they need the mercy of God. Hallelujah. 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 That should be your prayer tonight, from tonight, for your children or for yourself. Lord, bring me to that place where I realize from my heart that I need your mercy, because I'm too proud, because I'm too stubborn. Bring me to that point where I realize I need your mercy. The prodigal son came to a point where he realized that he needs God's mercy. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to take you to another character in the Bible where that man realized that he needs God's mercy. And he is Jonah. Jonah. Okay, we know the book of Jonah, because it was, if you were a Christian, went to the church from your childhood, Jonah would have been taught to you in the Sunday school. Now, let's go to the book of Jonah a bit, and then we will come back to the prodigal son parable. Let's go to the book of Jonah. We will come back after that to the prodigal son parable. Okay. Now, I want to highlight some things, but first of all, let me read some scriptures. Jonah chapter number one, it says, verse number one, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness have come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I want to, let me see if I have that picture or not, because I wanted to show you something. Yes, I have that. Now I will share my screen with you to show you something. Okay. All right. Do you see this now on the screen? Now, this is where Jonah is, okay? You see this point A? This is where Jonah is. God's purpose for him was here in Nineveh in Assyria. Okay, this is where God called him. But he went to this, he was in here near this place, Joppa. But instead of taking the land route to Assyria, which was God's purpose, he decided to take a route in the contrary direction. Which, you see how far away it is, Tarshish? Do you see that? Very far away. The contrary route that he wanted to take was far away from God's purpose. Very, 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 very far away. Hallelujah. But God wants to make him realize that he needs God's mercy because God loves him. So midway here in the sea, God gave him a experience of death. And when he experienced death, he realized it's painful. It's better to go back to God. I need his mercy. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. Now, one of the things that you have to understand, this guy Jonah was not a normal guy, was not an average prophet. This guy was a powerful prophet. Jonah was a prophet and a gifted evangelist. There was a heavy anointing that God placed on him. There was a powerful gift, more gifted than me in evangelism, than any one of us maybe. Evangelism. You can see that from the scripture, because wherever Jonah went, he saved souls, even without him doing anything. When he went to the ship, do you know the ship was going to be destroyed in the storms, in the winds, among the waves of the sea, because Jonah was going contrary? Hallelujah. We complain about storms, about winds, everyday problem, but we don't understand which way are you going, I want to ask you. That's why the storms come. That's why the winds come. Why? It is not coming to destroy you. It is coming to take you to the point where you realize you need God's mercy. Hallelujah. Many believers don't have the spiritual senses to realize the storms that come. When you will realize why the storms come, when Jonah realizes why the storm came, why the shipwreck, he will thank God. Thank God, Lord. Thank God. Because he was trying to go far away. There are so many people trying to take a contrary route, which is completely into the opposite direction of the purpose of the Lord. So far away. But I am telling you, God has laid a hold of you. God will not let you go. Hallelujah. Amen. I have seen this happening, especially those kids, those children who have praying parents. Somewhere or the other, at a point in their life, God gets a hold of them because someone was praying for them. There was an intercessor. But I have seen children who had an ancestral line of witches and wizards and occultic men and women in their ancestral line, and their father and mother practiced witchcraft, and no one was there to pray for them. They went into the contrary way. But I am telling you, Jonah wanted to go far away from the purpose of God, but God had a purpose for him. God had an assignment for him. He was a prophet, and he had a mighty evangelical gift. So God did not let him go. God sent storms, God sent winds to bring him back to a point in his life where he will realize that he needs God's mercy. Now, okay, coming back to the point that Jonah, wherever he went, without him preaching, without him doing meetings or crusades, he saved soul because the evangelical anointing on Jonah was so powerful, very heavy anointing. So when the ship was going to be destroyed, he was sleeping. You know the story. I will not go into the book of Jonah. He was sleeping, and then the people waked him up. Why don't you call on your God? Who are you? So that we can be saved. Then he confessed to those people, I am the servant of the living God who made heaven and earth. And I am running away from my God because of which this calamity has come. Okay? Because of which this calamity have come. They said, what to do? He said, you know, do one thing. Because of me, you don't die. Let me die. You take me and throw me into the water. But they were afraid. No, we don't want to kill you. But then they prayed. They said, this man's blood should not be on our hands. Okay? And then they threw away. They threw out Jonah from the ship into the water. And the Bible says, afterwards you read your Bible, that after they threw out Jonah from there, when they saw the storms were not stopping and the ship was going to be destroyed, they were going to be killed, at last they took the decision to throw out Jonah from that ship. After they threw out Jonah from that ship, the Bible says that the storm stopped and they were saved. When they saw they were saved, they worshipped the living God. They worshipped Jehovah. And they made vows and sacrifices to Jehovah. You see the life of Jonah. Why did that happen? It was because of anointing, I am telling you. It was because of the mighty gift Jonah carried. He did not even have to preach. When he was sent to, at last when he realized and when he went back to Nineveh, all that he preached was 40 days from now and Nineveh will be destroyed. He did not even preach repentance. You will look at the scripture. And by that preaching, the whole nation repented. That was the mighty gift, anointing upon Jonah's life. But because he did not understood God's mercy, that mighty gift in him was limited and his life was full of emotional damage and crisis. Jonah's life. Because, hallelujah. And I want to tell you one thing. I wrote it here somewhere. The giftings and the calling and understanding of sonship, the gifts, the calling and the understanding of sonship does not makes you qualify for God's mercy. Does not makes you qualify for God's mercy, but a broken heart will make you qualify for God's mercy. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that?
Amen.
That's why you see a lot of people on the pulpit. Oh God, this apostle was such a wonderful man because he was under the authority of another apostle. And that apostle was a man of God. A man of God who walked with God silently, who does not want to make noise. A truly man who carried the gifts of God, but also realized that he needs the mercy of God, a broken man. But this another apostle who was under this apostle wanted anointing, always talked about big men of God, that anointing. So he left this man of God and started to do his own ministry. And this man, every time you hear, oh, you know what, this man, when he sat on the chair and he prayed on the chair, he went and that chair, people come and come on the chair and write their prayer points. The prayer points are answered. That is the anointing this man gets. Anointing. You will see such a lot of people on the pulpit talking about, you need to have anointing, you need to have gifts, you need to have calling, but that does not qualify anyone for God's mercy, like Jonah. Jonah qualified for God's mercy and restoration of the position he had when he got broken. When he was broken by God. So these people who want anointing, they don't qualify for God's mercy because they want this thing, this, and all those things, but they don't realize that they have to remain in a broken state to receive God's mercy. Hallelujah. And when you don't have the evidence of God's mercy, your life is a roller coaster of emotions. When you don't have God's mercy, I'm telling you, your life is a roller coaster of emotions. Look at Jonah. Look at the prodigal son. Look at Jonah. First of all, he was going away. Oh, I will make my own. Let me go away from God. And then when he realized that other people were going to be killed, then he came back and he said, you know, you throw me away. I will die for you. So he again calmed down. He again realized his wrong. Then when he went into the belly of the fish, we will see that prayer. In the belly of the fish, he started to cry out to God and started to say, God, I will worship you. You are the one who can save me. So he again came back to his prayer life, Jonah, when God took him in the belly of the fish, came back to his prayer life. Then he was out of the belly of the fish and God told him, now you go to Nineveh. So he went to Nineveh. When he went to Nineveh, he preached. He thought that God will destroy these people because he hated Nineveh, okay? But when the people of Nineveh repented, God changed his mind, saved the people. Jonah again got angry because he never understood God's mercy. Some people don't even understand God's mercy even after God breaks them. Hallelujah. God said to Jonah, God made a tree grow for Jonah to give him shade. And the next day, God sent worms on that tree and the tree was destroyed. So after the tree was destroyed, Jonah was having pity on the tree. And God said to Jonah, listen to me. You have pity on this tree that you did not plant or make it grow. You had pity? Then why can't have pity and mercy on this numerous people in Nineveh whom I have created? and because they repented before me. Because Jonah had no understanding of God's mercy. His life was a roller coaster of emotions. Roller coaster of emotion. Sometimes he will obey God. Sometimes he will serve God. Sometimes he will complain against God. Sometimes he will be depressed because he never understood the breaking of God. He never understood that he needs God's mercy. You know, you can only show mercy when you receive God's mercy. The Bible says, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jonah was not a merciful prophet. He was heavily gifted. He was heavily anointed, but he was not a merciful prophet. Have you seen people on the pulpit like that? Oh, I don't want to. I don't know. Because, oh, I am anointed. So they think that they are something big and all those people are their slaves. They treat people like that. Why? Because these guys don't know God's mercy. Are we understanding? Are we learning mercy tonight? Hallelujah. Okay. Let's.
Amen.
I came here because I wanted to show you the breaking point of Jonah. Jonah chapter number two. Let's start from verse number one. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." Now. What the things, you have to carefully pay attention to the things he is saying. Where he cried out? Out of the what? Belly of Sheol. Sheol is Hades. Sheol is the place of the dead. So we will come to that. I want to say that Jonah, as per the scripture, Jonah had a death experience. He was made to feel the atmosphere or taken to the belly of Hades itself. Why? Because God knew, until I break him completely, he will. Many people are broken. You were broken 2 years back, but you did not maintain your brokenness. I am not talking about the brokenness. Oh, my boyfriend betrayed me, my girlfriend left me, so I am broken. I'm not that brokenness. I'm talking about godly brokenness. I'm talking about the state of brokenness. That's why the Bible says that remember from the state where you were called. In one of the epistles of Paul, he writes that. That means remember, you know, when David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, for his dwelling place, Nathan the prophet came to David and said, God says to you, remember from where I picked you up. You were a shepherd boy. And this position, these things I have given you.
Amen.
Are we understanding? So David, because you can forget when you get to the highs of life. You can forget those things. You can forget those things when you get to the highs of your life, when you get to the mountaintop and everything is under you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jonah went to the belly of Sheol. Okay. Because God wanted to break him. But this guy did not maintain his brokenness. When he preached to Nineveh and he was again getting angry on God, he forgot where he went. He died. He went to Sheol. God picked him up. He forgot those things. So we have to maintain our brokenness. We have to understand from where we came. I have to remember from where I came. I very well know from where I came. I very well know that. And I know that this position in the kingdom, these speakings, this utterance, this ministry, I very well know is by the mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Because servants of God don't realize mercy, they will fall. Any servant of God that does not realize mercy, and these servants who don't realize mercy are the one who are heavily gifted, heavily anointed. Those are the servants. Okay, let me come back to the scripture. We are on Jonah chapter 2. And it says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried and you heard my voice. When I read the scripture, pay attention to the location where Jonah is. Okay? More than the belly, he talks about the description of what hell looks like. Then he says, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood surrounded me, all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. That is the realization of mercy. Okay. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. So what does that mean? He was put out of the gates of the earth. That means he was out of the realm of the earth, of the physical realm. The earth closed its bars behind me. That's why I was telling you that he was in Hades. He was in Sheol. He was literally in Sheol. He almost died. He almost died. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. The pit again signifies Sheol or Hades. Oh Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Realization that he needs God's mercy now. Hallelujah. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto the dry land. Listen to me. Many of you are in spiritual sheols and prisons. You know what? When you will come out of it, when like Jonah, you will realize that, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. God will command the fish to put you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do we see that? Okay. Okay. Listen to me. Now, there are a few things from this book of Jonah. Now, the book of Jonah, read afterward chapter number 3 and 4. I don't have time, but you will see that Jonah was not able to maintain the brokenness, because he forgot from where he came. You almost died, boy, and God brought you out. God gave you life. It was a miracle. There are so many people I have seen who almost died, but God gave them another life, second chance, but they don't maintain that brokenness. They forgot from there where they came, and they forsake God's mercy, like Jonah. Why I'm saying Jonah forsook God's mercy, you will know when you read Jonah chapter number 3 and 4. Look at it. Because Jonah was still not ready to align with what God was doing. He wanted to see the people of Nineveh destroyed, but when God saved them, did not do anything because they repented. Jonah was angry. Then why did I came here? He says to God. Any which ways, I will not go into that. But few things we have to understand from Jonah's life to understand mercy is Jonah was almost taken to experience Hades, where he remembered God and realized that he needed God's mercy, like the prodigal son. Hallelujah. He needed God's mercy. Everyone say, I need God's mercy. I need God's mercy.
I need God's mercy.
Hallelujah. Then the second thing you have to understand from Jonah is the giftings and the callings and the understanding of sonship. You know, many preachers preach sonship. You are a son. You are this. You are heir. You this and that, you ask whatever, you know, and the Father will do it for you. That's the preaching and teaching mostly on sonship. I will preach on sonship, and I will preach the balanced doctrine, not to make you a rebellious kid of the Heavenly Father, but make you a kid of His mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Sonship does not mean you ask whatever you want. That is how I have went to conferences where the topic was sonship. Most of the prosperity preacher, most of the preacher who operate in those prophetic healing ministry and all those things, they talk about sonship. And they will tell you, because I have realized the doctrine, I have realized the revelation of sonship. That's why, see, I am so rich. I have a $1 billion mansion. I have $1 million cars. I have this and that because I realize sonship. Don't go into that doctrine. Read your own Bible to realize sonship. Okay? Many of these people who are heavily gifted calling and understanding sonship, they do not qualify for God's mercy because they are not broken. They don't know from where they came. Hallelujah. Like David. God said to him, remember David, you were a shepherd boy. You were nothing. I, the Lord, brought you up from that shepherd position and made you the king of Israel. And I am the one who is bringing that you, when you stay in that state of broke, I am the one, the Lord said to him, I am the one. Hallelujah. So always realize your gift, however anointed you are, or whatever revelations you have, does not qualify you for God's mercy. God's mercy is received when you are broken. Okay? And after brokenness, we will come to other points after I complete with Jonah. The third thing that we have to understand is from Jonah is God's mercy can heal your backsliding. I showed you the map of Jonah. He was going on the other way, contrary, very far away. Tarshish was very far away from God's purpose, from God's presence. But it was the mercy of, that is backsliding. What is backsliding? We think backsliding is going back is not. Backsliding is actually going on the contrary direction of what God wants you to do. That is backsliding. So that his backsliding was healed when he experienced God's mercy. The fourth thing is, God's mercy is just waiting for your brokenness. Yes. God's mercy wants to come to you, manifest in your life. But God wants to be merciful to you, but God is waiting for you to be broken. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's come back to Luke chapter number 15. The third revelation about mercy. Okay. Let me reiterate very quickly. The first revelation about mercy I gave you is we cannot receive God's mercy when we choose our own ways above God's ways. The second is every believer comes to a breaking point, hits the rock bottom in his life where they realize they need God's mercy. That is the second revelation. Then we went to Jonah. And the third revelation of God's mercy is his answers and blessings does not confirm his acceptance for you. His answers and blessings towards you does not confirm his acceptance for you. But his mercy confirms that you are approved and accepted by him. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter number 15. Let's read two verses. Luke 15 verse 22 and 23. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. When God clothes you, listen to me. In the realm of the spirit, when God clothes you with the clothes of righteousness, the garment of righteousness, with the turban of justice, that is when you realize that you have been approved by God and Satan cannot bring against you any accusations. Read the book of Zechariah, the prophet, and you will see that Jeshua, the high priest, who was working to build the temple, was accused by Satan. Accusations were brought against Jeshua. And Satan was accusing that man. And then, why Satan was accusing? Because he was wearing filthy clothes. So God said, let his filthy clothes be taken away and let him be clothed with robes. Let a turban be put on his head. So God clothed him. When God clothes you, that is when you, and when God clothes you, when you receive God's mercy, that is when he clothes you. That is when you receive the new clothes from God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can receive answers from God, blessings from God, like the prodigal son received what he wanted from God, from the father, but that does not mean the father approved of his actions, the father accepted him. So that is what I am saying. The third revelation about mercy is believers have to get it right. If you are receiving answers for your prayer, I received the answer, I received this, I got healed, I got blessing. That does not mean that you received God's mercy. And you receive acceptance and approval when you receive his mercy and not his answers and blessings. The people of Israel received answers. They got what they wanted. They wanted water. They got water. They wanted meat. They got quails. But that does not mean they realize God's mercy. And since they did not realize God's mercy, they were not accepted. When the prodigal son realized is the acceptance of my father is above his property, he realized that he needed his mercy. Hallelujah. When you will realize that the acceptance and the approval of God is above the things of the world, above the carnal blessing, above all these things, then you will receive God's mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are running after what God can give us. Amen. What car can I get from God? What house can I get from God? Which wife can I get from God? Which this can I get from God? When you realize that I want to be approved by God, hear from the Father that I am his faithful servant. He approves of me. He accepts me. Hallelujah. Then you will receive his mercy. And what you will receive will be something more than a car. You will receive robes. You will receive the ring of the Lord, authority of the Lord. You will receive the fatted calf of the Father. That is the revelation from the Father's house. You will receive something more when you are not after the property of the Father, but you are after the approval, after the mercy of the Father. You will receive robes. You will receive a position. You will receive a party from him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Are we understanding? His answers and blessing does not confirm his acceptance for you, but his mercy confirms that you are approved and accepted. The fourth revelation about mercy. Very, very, very important. It may sound simple, but we lose out on this. Very important. The fourth revelation about mercy is, you receive his mercy when you realize you are not worthy. And you are not worthy to even deserve the least from him. You receive his mercy when you realize you are not worthy to even receive the least from him. Let's go to the Luke chapter number 15. Verse number 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Wow. Praise God that he realized that. He did not say, I wasted the money of my father. I will go back to my father and ask for more money. And my father has to give it to me because he is my father. He has to do whatever I say to him. He did not say that. He realized that what he did was wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The teaching of repentance,
amen.
The teaching of repentance is lost today in the body of Christ. The teaching to submit to God in humility and to get rid of your selfish desires and ambitions is lost today in the body of Christ. It says the prodigal son, what did he say? You know what? I will go back to my father, but I will not even go to my father and say, accept me as your son. Mm-hmm. I will not even say that because of what I have done. What I will do is, I will tell my father, I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But at least I deserve to receive no good things from you, Father, because of what I have done. At least keep me as one of your low servants, hired servants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is when you have it is confirmed that you are broken. Hallelujah. Amen. Nowadays, believers, when one prayer is not answered, They will say, oh God, why didn't you answer? Today you did not do it. By tomorrow you have to do it. So many prayer meetings, all night prayer meetings, what they do? Lord, I received that. And they have all the papers, prayer requests, papers on their altar, you know, loads of paper. Have you seen that, those churches? Loads of prayer. Do you think God is pleased with all those nonsense crap? And then, oh, I lay my hands. Someone wants to receive a visa for US. Oh, you receive that visa. God, give them the visa. Someone wants to receive a visa for Canada. Someone wants to go there. Someone wants to have a baby. Someone wants to have this. Someone wants to have that. And all those stuff. You have made my father's house a den of thieves, when it is supposed to be called a house of prayer for all nations. I'm not, don't get me wrong. Many people get me wrong. Oh no, that means we don't. No. I'm not saying don't pray for your needs, but there is a way. The church has been inclined towards selfishness, and they are not taught brokenness. You are questioning God, why didn't I receive that, receive this? I'm praying, I'm fasting, doing this. But have you seen at your life how many times you forsook His mercy? How many times you wanted your own? But you are always counting on what God did not do. You are counting on the negative points of God. How many times He did like this, did like this, I did this. Oh my God. But the Bible says the prodigal son said, he realized, he said, what I have done, I don't deserve even the position of a son in the father's house. I don't deserve it. When you will realize that, people of God, you will receive His mercy, I'm telling you. When you will realize, you receive His mercy, when you realize you are not worthy to even deserve the least from Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when some things don't happen in my life and all those things, I come to God. I said, Lord, I am not worthy, because I know how many times I have not obeyed my vows. And I know that. I know in my life, but you have been merciful. That is the prayer where you receive His mercy. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Verse number 19. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned. Now, this is what the son is saying. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Hallelujah. But what happened? The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Where I am telling you, the father is waiting for you to be broken. You know, the potter is waiting for the clay to be completely broken. Hallelujah. He breaks the clay. And when the clay is broken, he's waiting for the clay to tell the potter, you know what? I'm completely broken. I am not worthy to be repaired again. Because I am broken because of my own actions, because of my own things. And then the potter gives the clay a beautiful shape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is what mercy is. The mercy of God is not only forgiveness. Yeah, God forgave you, but God restored you to the high position with Him that you did not deserve. Hallelujah. When you realize you are not worthy, God will give His worth to you. When you will realize you are not worthy, God will give His word to you. I know people are coming here from different nations, and many of you have been indoctrinated by prosperity preachers saying you are the heir of the kingdom. You will become an heir of the kingdom when you realize that you don't deserve it. When you realize His mercy, you become. Then God made His son, brought him back. That is true sonship. That is true sonship. When you realize that you need the Father's mercy. Hallelujah. How good is the Father? When you realize that you need His mercy. And what He received. What all He received. The father gave him best robe that signifies the garment of righteousness, the garment of praise. Hallelujah. The clothes of praise. And then he gave the ring that signifies authority, sandals on his feet. Hallelujah. That signifies that his poverty, calamity was taken away. And then he had the fatted calf killed. That signifies that the father will feed him now. Hallelujah. Many of us have to realize that we need the father to take care of us. We need the father to give us what he wants to give us, not what we want from him. That is where God's mercy comes into the picture. When we want what we want from him, we don't receive his mercy. But when we say we don't deserve anything, Lord, whatever you want to give, you give me. And I am telling you, God is going to surprise you with what he will give you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is going to surprise you with what he is going to give you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's pray. We need his mercy tonight. Hallelujah. We need to realize that we need his mercy. We need his mercy. Hallelujah. Father, I need your mercy. By mercy, I am not only forgiven. Mercy is you have accepted me, Lord. You have approved me. And I know I don't deserve even the least. Oh, Lord, but we come to you, Lord, seeking you. Whatever you want to give us, Lord. Hallelujah. But we want to say that we don't deserve it. We have been on the wrong side. We wanted our own. But tonight we call on, Lord, your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It says in the book of Titus, Lord, that mercy, your mercy has saved us, Lord, and has through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, and your grace has justified us, Lord. Lord, tonight we want to say, Lord, our heart, our deceiving heart, our selfish heart craves for selfish things and the things of the world. But we crucify it. Lord, lead your people into that brokenness where they will, Lord, the desires that they had so much to live the prodigal life, Lord, that desire will be completely shattered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? When you are really on God's ways, God will start to root out desires. Maybe you had so many desires. You wanted this, you wanted that. But God will start to root out those selfish desires, the selfish desires, and God will incline your heart towards seeking his mercy. And then God will start to give you his treasures and not the treasures of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Rafo tavika tiyambando rosebete. Oh Lord, we seek not your blessing, but your mercy tonight. We need your mercy. Oh, I am telling you, some of you, by this message, after hearing this, even as you pray, you are going to receive God's mercy. And when you receive God's mercy, you are going to have a position with God. You are going to become his heir. Oh, you are going to be accepted. You are going to be receiving rewards that will surprise you. Not that you want it because your heart is broken, but God will surprise you because he saw that you were broken. And you acknowledged your own wrong. He was just waiting for that. He was just waiting for that. And he will accept you back as his own son and own daughter. And he will surprise you with his rewards. Hallelujah. Ravan zekete rebene rebendi. Rabala, asking and asking and asking can just give you the share of a property. But seeking his mercy and telling God that I don't deserve it will give you unexpected rewards. And not just, oh, hallelujah. When you want from God as per what you want, you will get a limited amount of what you are wanting. But when you leave on God, oh God, I don't want anything. Maybe you will give me a position that is of your servant. Oh, you will be surprised with an unlimited reward from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive. We want your mercy. We need your mercy. We don't want to be like Jonah, Lord. Oh, Father, we want to continue and as David, we want to remember from where we came. We want to remember what we are, Lord, and what we deserve. We deserve nothing. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. But it is your mercy and grace. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the praise, honor, and glory, Lord. And we thank you for this time once again. Hallelujah. We praise your holy name, Lord. During this week, Lord, you lead and guide your people. Let them continue in that brokenness, Lord. Let them continue, Lord, in your mercy, in your grace. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord, for all the people. Cover them all with the precious blood of Lord Jesus. And even those who are not there, Lord, I cover them, their families, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And God's people amen. Shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. I will ask.